Good afternoon, dear colleagues. I'm Asamoah Ban. I work in WHO based in Geneva. It's my privilege to welcome you to this meeting. We're particularly grateful to those who have had to sacrifice their lunch to be here with us. We chose this room because we were expecting a full house, but we also know big things start small, so we are not discouraged. We are really grateful that you could make it. As some of you may be aware, the government of Sweden and Botswana just recently concluded a global consultation that looked at the place and the health agenda within the Sustainable Development Agenda. And that is why I have with me the PR for Sweden and the PR for Botswana, but also my colleague from UNICEF was one of the organizations that helped organize this consultation. And our agenda this afternoon is really to share with you some of the outcomes of the consultation that we've had, but more importantly, to have an opportunity to get some feedback and comments from you, but also some advice from you how we can take this forward, because as you can see, we are in some cases in the beginning of a very interesting process, and the more we have open exchange of views, the better we can inform the process. So that is really the intention. So the plan is to start with three short presentations, first by the Ambassador of Sweden, followed by the Ambassador from Botswana, then my colleague will go into a little more detail, reflecting again on some of the recommendations from the other groups. And hopefully there will be enough time for you to ask questions and to provide us with some input. So with your permission, I want to invite the Ambassador of Sweden. I asked him earlier how he wants me to introduce, and he said, no, don't do that. He needs no introduction, but he's a very experienced ambassador. He's been ambassador of Sweden to the UN for a long time, but before then, he had worked in almost everywhere, in Geneva, in Beijing, in London, in Moscow, everywhere. He's a very experienced ambassador. Ambassador, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Dear colleagues and friends, good afternoon to all of you. The objective, as the moderator just indicated, is to present and discuss the outcome of the thematic health consultation, which, as you know, has been one of the 11 consultations launched by the UN Development Group. Let me, first of all, express on the part of my government our great appreciation for the excellent cooperation we've enjoyed with our colleagues in the government of Botswana, colleagues in WHO and in UNICEF, during the planning and the execution of this health consultation. And particular thanks goes to the members of the task team. It was teamwork at its best, marked by professionalism, efficiency, and a very good and jolly spirit. If I recapitulate, starting in September 2012, the task team received inputs from people and organizations around the world on how best to ensure the health of future generations. It was an inclusive process with an impressive level of engagement. Let me share some numbers with you. In producing the report, there were over 100 written contributions submitted by a wide range of stakeholders. There were 14 face-to-face meetings bringing together over 1,500 representatives from governments, civil society, and the private sector, coming from places as far apart as La Paz, Dar es Salaam, Abuja, Amsterdam, New York, Beijing, and Bangkok. There were over 150,000 people from all regions of the world visiting the consultation website, which is worldwewant2015.org, and I hereby pitch for that website. which will continue to be up and running. The consultation report has so far actually been downloaded by more than 7,000 times. This broad and very active engagement in the consultation cements further what I believe everyone in this room can agree on, namely that health has a central role to play in the post-2015 agenda. Sweden has a long tradition on its part working on global health. We work with partners at all levels, from training midwives with local NGOs to partnering at the national level with institutions, all in the spirit of the International Health Partnership. You will also find us very active as board members of global health institutions such as WHO, UNFPA, UNICEF, and the Global Fund. Sweden remains committed to working for improved health outcomes globally and looks forward to continuing to engage in the discussions for health as we move forward. The importance of health in the post-2015 agenda has been pronounced in many other forums and reports, including the report from the high-level panel presented by the SG a few days ago, and also in the Sustainable Development Solutions Network report, the SACS report. Dr. Rathanathan will discuss, as I understand it, these reports a bit more in the context of his presentation. But before I leave the word to my colleagues, allow me to highlight three dimensions that my minister, Mrs. Gunilla Carlsson, emphasized when she attended the meeting in Gaborone in March. Number one, we need to recognize health both as a means and as an end to sustainable development in all three dimensions, economic, social, and environmental. Healthier people are more productive and can increase their wealth. Better health thus increases the opportunities for women, men, girls, and boys to escape poverty. This also means that we must continue to address the social inequities and gender inequities, inequalities that affect health and access to health services. It also means that investment in health have to increase. Benefits of investing in health clearly outweigh costs. Every dollar spent generates up to $30 through improved health and increased productivity. Just like empowerment of women, investing in health is simply very smart economics. Health is also a key indicator of how successful we are across sectors, be it in terms of nutrition, access to education for girls, improved availability of clean water and sanitation, but also as to what kind of energy we use and what kind of food we produce. All these can be measured in terms of people's health and well-being. Health is, in many ways, a good proxy when measuring progress towards a sustainable world. My second point is about the need to ensure respect for human rights, and especially sexual and reproductive rights and health. The right to decide over one's own body, sexuality, and childbearing is fundamental for the health and lives of all people. We cannot afford to lose the rights dimension as we move forward on health. And thirdly, the importance of democratic governance for health cannot be underestimated. Health is not only about nurses, doctors, and drugs. It is just as much a matter of planning, proper management, and of democratic and accountable governance. We know that in countries with strong leadership, inclusive partnerships in health with key stakeholders, and where there is a functioning political oversight, there are much better health results. Strong and accountable leaders and good managers simply save lives. We have made impressive progress over the years in health under the MDGs. If we just take one example, child mortality, it has fallen by more than 30%, with about 3 million children lives saved each year compared to year 2000. The MDG process has mobilized people and resources, especially for MDGs 4, 5, and 6. Clear, measurable goals that can easily be communicated have proven to be powerful tools. We need to recognize this as we move forward and find ways to generate the same movement for other goals, such as water and sanitation, nutrition, gender equality, clean energy, to name a few. There have, however, also been weaknesses with the MDGs, such as their lack of focus on equity, missing the human rights aspect, and in terms of governance, as I just indicated. Furthermore, the MDGs did not succeed in addressing the issues of violence and personal security or the needs of countries in conflict, post-conflict, or with humanitarian settings, all places where the needs are the greatest. We should keep both the strengths and the weaknesses of the MDGs in mind when we now embark on setting new aspirations in the health area for the post-2015 period. Ending extreme poverty is indeed a moral obligation for us all, but it will not be enough. We need to ensure a healthy planet with healthy people for now and for the future. Our mission must be to enable every person, regardless of sex, age, income, or orientation, to have the opportunity to live a long and healthy and happy life. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, for your comments. And on through you, I also like to thank the government of Sweden for leadership and support for the process. There is a saying in WHO that if Sweden is on your side, who can be against you? Let me now turn to my senior brother, the Ambassador of Botswana. He's also a very experienced ambassador, and before he came to New York, he was the ambassador in Geneva, and I know he has a very soft heart for the health sector, Ambassador.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Asamoah Ba, a long-time friend, and it's a pleasure for me to see you here. Colleagues, as you have heard, we were honored and privileged as Botswana in March of this year to host the thematic consultations on health, which we did jointly with our Swedish colleagues, together with the technical support of WHO and UNICEF. The outcome of these consultations are indeed the basis for a final report, which is the basis for our consultations today. It is also, in this regard, a great pleasure and honor for me to join this platform with my friend and colleague, the distinguished permanent representative of Sweden, and I join him in also welcoming our colleagues from the UN system, particularly WHO and UNICEF. And through them, we want to thank member states who attended the thematic consultations in Botswana and for the very valuable contributions that they make at those consultations. We are indeed very grateful for that. And Mr. Chairman, our being here this afternoon is a demonstration of our continued engagement, our continued commitment to the process of advancing the future agenda and ensuring that the future development agenda incorporates a health component. We are also committed to ensuring that this whole process maintains its member-driven character, and this is very important. So the discussion today, Mr. Chairman, is very timely, very relevant, particularly that it mirrors the ongoing consultations in the open-ended working group on sustainable development goals, which are very, very relevant to the discussion here today. And also when you consider the fact that in September this year, we have a high-level meeting to review the implementation of Millennium Development Goals, all of which are extremely important. And of course, it is also very pertinent and relevant in the context of the entire post-2015 debate. Mr. Chairman, this particular event offers us an opportunity to reflect on the way forward, to also see what input we can provide to these ongoing processes that I've referred to. And it's also an opportunity for us to further maintain the momentum that is generated in these various consultations or ongoing processes, and an opportunity also to provide a final push, so to speak, in the implementation of the MDGs, given the fact that their target date is just around the corner. Let me just quickly touch on what we consider to be key issues, key messages, and particularly those that came from the thematic consultations that were conducted in Botswana. One is that let's not forget the point that during those thematic consultations, one point which came out was that we have less than 2 years before the 2015 target date for the implementation of the MDGs, and that we really need to step up our efforts in the remaining time just to ensure that we achieve the MDGs. And also, in particular, more effort needs to be expended in addressing health-related aspects of the MDGs and ensuring that, indeed, we contribute to improvement of the quality of life of our people. The second point I want to stress is that, which came out of the Gaborone thematic or the Botswana thematic consultations, is that in the health sector, we need to work aggressively as member states, specifically to reduce inequalities in health care. This is extremely important. Inequalities in health care, we need to ensure that these are addressed in order that we achieve universal health coverage, which is also extremely important. It is in the light of the importance of health and development that we need to ensure that these inequalities are addressed, and that when we look at the deliberation, what came out of the deliberations in Botswana, this whole issue of inequalities in healthcare is one matter that came out that we need to address as we develop the post-2015 development agenda. My Swedish colleague has already stressed the point regarding the centrality of health in the post-2015 agenda. I just want to further stress this point. Health is really at the center of the development agenda. It's very difficult to think of health outside of development and to think of development outside of health. The two are complementary and they go hand in hand. My Swedish colleague has also made the point, and I'm also making it very briefly, that a lot has been achieved by member states over the last couple of years. But whilst we recognize the amount of progress that has been made, a lot also remains to be done. And we do not need to be complacent with regard to what we have achieved at this point. Let me, towards the conclusion, Mr. Chairman, highlight three key issues which we feel member states need to bear in mind as we chart the way forward. The first one is that we really need to think through what we consider to be the health priorities in the 2015 development agenda. What are the health priorities within the context of the 2015 development agenda? We cannot just talk generally about health. We need to single out what we consider to be the health priorities within the 2015 framework. Secondly, we also need to consider how we can accelerate the implementation of the MDGs in the remaining time, and how these Millennium Development Goals are going to transition into a new framework, which the so-called Sustainable Development Goals. We need to think through how that transition is going to take place, particularly that we do recognize that there is a lot of unfinished business from the 8 Millennium Goals that our leaders set some years ago. There's still a lot of ground that needs to be covered. The third point that I just want to stress, Mr. Chairman, is one about the importance of leadership and engagement in the process of moving forward the 2015 development agenda and ensuring that the health aspects of that agenda are incorporated. One cannot overemphasize the importance of leadership and for leadership to remain engaged throughout the process. Remember, I kept on stressing the point about my colleague and I, Sweden and Botswana, ensuring that throughout the process, we maintain the member states' driven character of this process, and we are committed to doing that. Mr. Chairman, let me conclude by saying we also need to be mindful of new challenges in the health sector as we move forward. There is TB, malaria, HIV/AIDS, but also we have the phenomenon of non-communicable diseases, the NCDs. It's a phenomenon that has since come on stream, and we need to take this into account in the post-2015 agenda. And related to this is the need for us to strengthen institutionally the healthcare systems in our respective countries. We cannot do without strengthening the institutional capacity of the healthcare systems in order to enhance their delivery. Now, the health-related aspects of the Millennium Development Goals are central, particularly issues of maternal and child health, sexual and reproductive health. Those are key, and they will remain priorities as we advance into the future development agenda. I just want to say that we share the views of the high-level panel, particularly on the issue about the data revolution. Mr. Chairman, we can only succeed in our efforts if we have up-to-date and reliable data, and also we can only succeed provided we make full use of the new technologies in order to put in place the monitoring and evaluation mechanisms that we need in order to ensure that whatever we are doing is on the right track. With that, Mr. Chairman, since we have limitations of time, I would want to end my presentation at this stage and to say that, again, to express the appreciation of my government for the opportunity we were given to host the thematic consultations of health together with our partners, the Swedes, and of course with the technical support of the UN system, WHO in particular, and UNICEF, and that we remain committed to moving this process forward. And as Botswana, we are very proud to be part of this process, and we will do all we can to ensure that we continue to remain engaged in providing as much support as we possibly can to this process. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, and especially for reminding us that this is a member state-driven process. We're proud of your leadership, and especially for hosting the meeting in Botswana. I wasn't privileged to attend the meeting in Botswana, but my colleagues who attended came back and concluded that if you want a successful meeting, you have to organize it in Gaborone. So I hope New York is listening. Let me now turn over to my colleague, Kumanan, who will contrast the recommendations from the consultation with the recommendations coming from the high-level panel and the other groups that have provided some ideas as to how we take this process forward. And after that, we'll open the floor for your comments.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to start by firstly, again, thanking the leadership of the governments of Botswana and Sweden in this process. We certainly are very lucky to have both Botswana and Sweden on our side in this. I was lucky enough to go to Gaborone, and I can certainly endorse the view that having a meeting in such a beautiful country and so beautifully organised really has been a wonderful contribution. And we were lucky really there to have a broad constituency from the health community, from civil society, from the private sector, from member states, from UN agencies, at a high level, having a very robust debate, and which has contributed to this consultation. I'd also like to acknowledge the other members of the task team, colleagues in WHO, UNICEF, the governments of Botswana and Sweden, who I'm presenting on behalf of today, and also colleagues in other UN agencies who are here today, as well as civil society and other partners who've contributed to move us forward on this process. I'd like to acknowledge Joanna, who's going to help me from the Government of Sweden with the slide. If we could move to the next slide. Essentially, we've heard a lot over the last day in the discussions of the Open Working Group led by member states around how do we get from the enormous progress that has been achieved through the Millennium Development Goals to something that will build on that but exceed it, go beyond that, address perhaps some of the things we thought could have been done better with the MDGs. Next slide, please. And we don't know what that's going to look like, but as we know, the high-level panel has put forward dipped their toe in the water, so to speak, and put forward a proposal, a very considered report with some illustrative goals and targets. But, of course, this is just a proposal. Next slide, please. And really, it's now member states who are going to exert leadership and really see where can we get to get a comprehensive agenda that addresses the very high expectations and aspirations of our communities. As the Swedish ambassador has said, the global consultation on health, which is just one process feeding into these very robust discussions, it ended up with this report. There are still some copies available at the back of the room, and we tried with the wonderful support we had from Sweden and Botswana, also the Norwegians contributed. We were able to reach a diverse audience, both face-to-face and on the internet. But it's just one proposal. It's the start of the debate. Next slide, please. The consultation covered five main themes to structure, which we've heard over and over again referred to in the discussions over the last day. What have we learnt from the MDGs? What do we need to address in health in the post-2015 era? What's the role of health in the broader post-2015 development agenda? What are potential goals and targets, often the thing that people want to jump to immediately? And then it's not just about having goals and targets. It's also about implementation. How do we make these a reality? What have we learnt from the MDGs in terms of implementation? Next slide, please. So what I'm going to do in the next minute or so is go over the proposal from the health consultation, look also at the proposal from the report of the high-level panel, which I hope many of you have read, and then also refer to the report of the Sustainable Development Solutions Network, a group of academic institutions, private sector, civil society, who have also produced a report, which I think is very useful. So in the health consultation, and perhaps, Joanna, if you want to just cycle through to the end of the slide, firstly, it's the overall frame, and we were pleased that Dr. Vega from the Rockefeller Foundation used a version of this yesterday in her presentation. In the end, it's what are we trying to achieve? What is the goal of development? What's the overall agenda? If we agree that sustainability, sustainable development is important, that well-being is important, it's important to consider that the different issues, the different themes contribute separately, but also they're linked. And we, of course, as a health community, have made the very strong claim that health is a contributor, a consequence, and an indicator of what we want to achieve for societies. And then if we want to have a health goal, and there seems to be an emerging consensus that perhaps we definitely need a top-line health goal, but we may only have one health goal rather than the three specific health goals we had in the MDGs, although all impact on health. There are a number of agendas that are being identified as key, particularly around universal health coverage, around building on the MDG agenda, around NCDs. And within that, there's the contribution of the health sector itself, but there's also the very important contributions of other sectors. Next slide, please. And so trying to put this together in terms of, well, what would a health goal look like? The proposal from the health consultation was to maximise healthy lives. Now, if you're going to have a single health goal, it is a challenge to have a goal that's inclusive, as the American delegate mentioned this morning, but it's also as specific as people might like. And from the consultation, it seemed that maximising healthy lives at all stages of life might be one formulation that could serve this purpose. Within that, this tension between outcome goals and then emphasising the means to get there. And clear emphases in the consultation came that no one wants to forget about the MDGs. There's still just under 1,000 days to get to the targets. We still have, despite all that we've achieved, there's still a long way to go in for many areas, and we need to keep the focus on those and then build on them. And so that in any new agenda, we shouldn't forget about those outcomes, and even we should build more ambitious targets, such as ending preventable maternal and child deaths, really looking at the progress on reproductive health, looking at where we've got to on HIV, TB and malaria. But at the same time, all countries are saying non-communicable diseases can no longer be ignored. We really need to address this as a threat to economic development, as a threat to well-being. But to do that, you need health systems. You need strong health systems. You need universal health coverage and access, which is about improving the coverage of services, about ensuring there's financial protection so people don't fall into poverty through accessing health services, and addressing issues of quality, of equity, of accessibility, affordability, and acceptability. And that these are not really divisible. If you want to address where we want to get to in health, you need to address all of these issues. And we made some suggestions on targets for those, building on existing ideas, on existing agreements. Next slide, please. Now, the high-level panel, which considered our consultation, it set a goal of ensuring healthy lives, which you'll see is closely linked to the wording of the suggested goal from the consultation. It had targets around ending preventable child and infant deaths. It had a target around immunisation, maternal mortality, sexual and reproductive health, HIV, TB, malaria, and NCDs. So it focused on outcome goals. But, move forward one, please. It's important to recognise that in the report, it strongly emphasised the importance of universal health coverage. It said that we cannot achieve these outcomes without a commitment to building health systems and aspiring towards universal health coverage. So whilst I know that many people are disappointed that there is not a target for universal health coverage in the high-level panel's report, that's not to say that it underestimated its importance. Next slide, please. The Sustainable Development Solutions Network, the goal was achieve health and well-being at all ages. And it, as target suggested, ensure universal access to primary health care, prevention and treatment of communicable and non-communicable diseases with updated indicators for HIV, TB and malaria, targets around child mortality, maternal mortality and NCDs, and also addressing some of the risks in particular for NCDs, which often lie under the aegis of other sectors, as well as looking at issues of subjective well-being and social capital. Next slide, please. What I'd like to emphasise, finally, as I finish, is that there is a lot of commonality here, and we have heard that again and again in the very insightful contributions of member states over the last day and other groups. And if I could try to summarise them, and I'm fortunate that many of the delegates have already attempted that this morning, including the Deputy Director General from WHO. Building on the MDGs, but with more ambitious targets. Non-communicable diseases and their risks. Strengthening health systems, universal health coverage. Equity and realising the right to health for all, leaving no one behind. But understanding perhaps that universal health coverage is necessary but not sufficient. That was a phrase from one of the delegates this morning. To achieve these outcomes, you also need the inputs of other sectors. So you need targets which link to actions beyond the health sector to the determinants of health, and we heard about those. I've put them on the slide. I won't mention them by name, but issues such as climate change, such as food security, water and sanitation, urbanisation. If we don't address these, we're not going to get to the health outcomes we want and realise the right to health. Next slide. So finally, we are very early still in this process, and this is a slide from Joanna. I'm very grateful to this, and the detail is not important to say we are very, very early still in this process. We are at the level of proposals. To use the metaphor of the Football World Cup, we're in the qualifiers. The qualifiers are very important because if you don't get through the qualifiers, you don't make the tournament. But you might say, in my opinion, we're still waiting for the final tournament to begin, and that's still there's still a long way to go, and member states will lead us on this. Next slide, please. And so in the terms of the next steps, we look forward to the political discussions and leaderships by member states to bring us, we hope that they will rise to the challenge of having a comprehensive health agenda that can address these issues, that we won't get stuck with one issue dominating over another, because I think most of us see this as that we need all of these issues to get to where we want in health. And we look forward to supporting as UN agencies, as with civil society, with academia, with other groups, other stakeholders, in the very important technical work that was also alluded to this morning around the development of indicators. There's a long way to go. I mean, some people might say that one of the challenges the high-level panel had to have a UHC target is do we have those targets yet? Ensuring the links between the different goals and having a sustainable agenda that addresses issues together rather than in silos. And also considering the challenging task of ensuring that as we transition from the MDG targets to the new agenda, that we don't cause harm, that we don't undermine the progress that we've seen. Next slide, please. So, again, thank you to the governments of Botswana and Sweden and all of our partners, and we look forward to all of your continued contributions to this important agenda, and in particular, the leadership of member states. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kumanan, for a very clear presentation. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, you've heard from those of us from this side of the room. Now we want to hear from you. I would suggest that as you speak, can you first identify yourself and, if you like, the constituency you represent or member states?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. I'm Didier Babin. I'm working for the UN Convention on Biological Diversity. I'm in charge of Biodiversity for Development and Poverty Eradication Program. I really want to insist about some aspects mentioned by the different presentation on the links between healthy people and healthy planet. I was involved in the thematic discussion on environmental sustainability, and we have more or less the same type of remark that the silos approach are not very useful for some aspect like health consideration. So last year, during the Rio Plus 20 summit, we have prepared with WHO and the Free Rio Convention on Biodiversity, Climate Change and Desertification, discussion paper on our planet, our health, our future. And just taking into account the links between emerging infectious disease and climate change and modification of ecosystem, we really capture the problem of the links between the different aspects. I have two questions concerning the document, just to know how you consider two aspects. The first one is traditional medicine. As you know, in some ASEAN and African countries, 80% of the population depend on traditional medicines for primary health care. I don't know how it's considered in your document. And the other links, the other consideration is directly links with biological diversity and the degradation of ecosystem. Over half of synthetic medicine originate from natural sources, and millions of people around the world depend totally or in part of products obtained from ecosystem for medicine purposes. So the loss of biodiversity is directly have directly consequences on the provision for new type of medicines. So I think we have really to work together on this aspect.
Thank you very much. I suggest we'll take a few questions and allow the panelists, but also allow other delegates to interact. Yes, madam.
My name is Celine. I'm a medical mission sister, a member of the faith-based organization. We are in the medical field more than 8 decades, and I appreciate all the panelists for your presentation. And my question is, how to make health accessible and affordable to people living in poverty, especially in the context of the competitions between the pharmaceutical companies and also the intellectual property rights and patency remaining with very few countries. Why I say is that my country, India, was very successful in producing the medicines for HIV/AIDS, and they supplied to Africa, and they also face challenges from other countries. So in this context, how can we support the poor people living in poverty? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we are pleased to join the discussions. I am Khawumakwe from Botswana, and it's good to hear the presentations from the podium. The last speaker sort of took some words from my mouth because I was listening carefully to the presentations, even in the previous discussions in the other room, where we are having a continuation of the subject under the working group on the SDGs. But we tend to hear very little about issues of affordability and access, the cost of medicines and drugs. And I just don't know. Maybe it's too early. Maybe it will come at a later stage in the next rounds of ongoing discussions as to how then affordability can, rather, universality can be reached. If we still have a sort of a skewed landscape in terms of a provision of affordable and cost-effective medicinal regimes. The other issue that I noticed, I think in the presentation that was made by UNICEF, I followed your presentation carefully, and I just wanted to satisfy myself that we will, I think the messages, some of the messages that we have listened to in the ongoing discussions is that indeed we want to see MDGs becoming SDGs. And in your presentation, I observed that there was a little bit of some prioritization that was emerging. And we were hoping that we could retain some of the goals presently in the MDGs that have not yet been fully achieved, and we do not have a very good outlook as to whether they will be achieved. And this is in relation to HIV, TB, and malaria, so that then the NCDs could join them rather than anything else contrary to that. So we would want to see probably the maintenance of those goals becoming SDGs and then NCDs joining them in that basket. The other issue, the last issue that I wanted to find out is how are we going to balance, because I noticed that in the report of the panel, one of the key outcomes is that we should have universality. And how is universality going to be achieved at the same time with emphasis on quality as well? How do you balance the two and ensure that going forward that is achieved? Because the prism that we are looking at is that there should be some dedication to some specific, some people are arguing that there should be some dedication to specific diseases and specific goals. Others are saying, let's have a universal approach and have one broad goal. So I don't know how we will be able to arrive at quality, universality, specificity of key diseases that are prevalent at the moment, and also doing enough to cover those that we might have left under the microscope. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm wondering whether at this stage we to be useful to reflect a bit on the questions that have come, and then we'll take another round of questions. And they revolve around one, the limitation of this thematic approach, that there are linkages that we tend not to establish. Once you go vertical and every group is looking at and our colleague mentioned healthy people, healthy planet. How do we reflect that? The second issue is about the place of traditional medicine, recognizing that in many parts of the world, traditional medicine is very key, and people combine traditional medicine with other types of medicine. The third issue is about biological diversity, but at least two colleagues mentioned universality. How are we going to achieve universality without addressing the challenge of accessibility and affordability of medicines with all these IP regimes? And there's the question of how do we make the MDGs, the SDGs? What are the challenges of maintaining specificity but also making sure that we broaden the agenda, the issue of quality? So I'm wondering whether first my colleagues here want to reflect and whether other colleagues want to reflect on those issues before we take another round of issues.
Thank you very much, Chair. Those that I can comment on or respond to, I will make an attempt, Chair, and then leave the others to my colleagues in the podium. Well, first, the issue about the linkage between healthy people and healthy planet, it's a very fundamental one, particularly that we have got to ensure that we respect the fragility of ecosystems in our quest for medicines that we need to promote healthy living. We have got to ensure that there is a balance between our exploitation of medicinal facilities with ensuring also the ecosystem, that the ecosystem is not endangered in that process. The issue of traditional medicine is also a fundamental one. And some of you may recall that, particularly in relation to the issue of primary health care, we have way back in 1978, there was the Alma Ata Declaration, which specifically recognized the role of traditional medicine in primary health care. So basically, in answering the question, one has to say that there has to be a skillful integration of traditional medicine with modern medicine or conventional medicine, if I might call it that, in order to really fight health problems. What is fundamental is to ensure that the two systems are skillfully integrated. We cannot ignore traditional medicine because the majority of our people, especially in developing countries, they are reliant on the traditional medicine system for their healthcare needs. And we just need to ensure that that system is integrated to the conventional healthcare system that we have in our countries. Now, let me link that up with the issue of biodiversity, which is also linked to the comment that was made by the first speaker from the floor. It is basically the issue of avoiding damage to the ecosystem through our exploitation of medicinal properties. We need to remain sensitive to the fragility of ecosystems, and we entirely agree. I mean, it's a straightforward point, Mr. Chairman. In our exploitation of medicinal properties, we have got to ensure that we avoid damage to the ecosystems. Now, the question by Selena from India, how to make health accessible to poor people, is a very fundamental people in the context of intellectual property rights. It is a very fundamental issue. In fact, there's no debate between the commercial interests of pharmaceutical firms and the saving of lives. Saving of lives is a moral imperative. That has got to be done. There's no question of the balance between the commercial interests of pharmaceutical firms and the need to save lives. And basically, the production of generic drugs by countries such as India, Brazil, and Bangladesh, they're quite a good number. That needs to be encouraged because we have seen over the years that the production of these drugs have made health accessible to a lot of our people. Drugs are unaffordable, like my Botswana colleague indicated. They continue to be, the cost of drugs continues to be an impediment to the accessibility of health. But what one may want to say in this regard is that we need to exploit the flexibilities which are in the TRIPS agreement. Our understanding is that there are flexibilities in the TRIPS agreement, one of which has to do with compulsory licensing. That can be exploited, and we should continue to argue in this context that developing countries such as Brazil, India, and Bangladesh, which have demonstrated domestic manufacturing capacity in this regard in terms of their production of generic drugs, that should continue. We in Botswana have been a beneficiary of generic drugs from a number of these countries, and through those generic drugs, we have managed to facilitate access of the drugs to the people that need them. This is basically the contribution I thought I should make at this stage. Let us make full use of the flexibilities which are built into the TRIPS agreement. Our understanding is that when you have public health emergencies, like we appear to have in a number of our countries, you can actually exploit those flexibilities, one of which is the flexibility pertaining to compulsory licensing. With that, thank you very much, Chair. These are the points that I thought I should respond to.
I'll try and be brief because I'm sure there are other questions that people keep to answer. Maybe just one thing to expand around these issues of affordability and access, and even with the traditional medicines, is the sense of when we strengthen health systems, we need to address those issues. Now, I think in the discussions we've had, a lot of people have asked the question, well, how can you have universal health coverage? How can you have a global goal or target on that, given the different levels of resources that countries have? What I think, certainly from our point of view, is that when we strongly support universal health coverage, is that there still firstly needs to be a little bit of more development on what sort of indicators we're talking about. What are the ends? What are the things that we think in any country, in any health system, we should be able to achieve through the continuum of care, from promotive to treatment and sort of rehabilitation? But I also think that when we're thinking about that, we do need to address those issues you're saying, in that we can't just have universal health coverage as a sort of slogan. So when we have systems in many countries where the private sector is the dominant provider, the targets we have need to be embracing the whole healthcare sector, right? And I think, you know, there are going to be some very challenging sort of discussions to work out targets and indicators for universal health coverage that can address those issues. And we still have some work to do on that. And I think in considering the role of traditional medicine, that's another issue that needs to come into it. I mean, I think our own perspective is it's really, well, do things work? Do they improve people's health? And that perhaps the traditional versus non-traditional is a dichotomy that isn't always useful. We have many examples of health systems where both are provided in the same system. And so we need to consider the health system in sort of its totality.
Yes.
Maybe just a small add-on to what was just now said about the issue of universal health coverage. As I understand it, there is no agreed formula as to what we mean by universal health coverage. So there are still outstanding some important definitional issues on that.
Can we have one or two comments with respect to the issues raised before we come up with new issues? Anybody wanting to comment on those issues? Maria, then.
Thank you, Chair. Just very quickly, Maria from WHO. Just to mention that it can be useful as a reference on the question on biodiversity in traditional medicines. I hope you have a copy of the issue brief on health that was presented at the Open Working Group, and that there is a reference in page one where we say that human health relies on ecosystems' health. Protecting and improving ecosystems can offer better and more permanent control over vector-borne diseases, than large-scale pesticide spraying, and maintaining biodiversity will maintain the source of traditional and Western medicine. I think this is the point that you were making reference. There is in page 5 as well, again, a reference to the importance among the new goals, if there are when there are the sign of the maintaining the biodiversity and the negative impact in the health of the people that could have the loss of biodiversity. Thank you, Chair. It was just to clarify that.
A colleague, yeah.
Thank you very much. I represent France. And I just wanted to react on an element that was mentioned earlier, that is the definition or the lack of definition of universal health coverage. And maybe just to recall that the General Assembly adopted a resolution by consensus with a large number of co-sponsors, more than 90 co-sponsors. And in this resolution, there is actually a definition of universal health coverage. The resolution is 67/81, and the definition is the paragraph 10. It is based on a definition provided by the World Health Organization, and it means that it's ensuring that all people have access to the health services they need without the risk of financial hardship. And that leads maybe to one question very briefly. It's how do you understand the possibility to articulate the silo approach that we had with the MDGs and what we have heard yesterday and again this morning, the need to strengthen the health systems in order to achieve those MDGs, those goals that are still unfinished, and some additional goals like the prevention and control of non-communicable diseases. Many thanks.
Thank you very much. The additional point about universal health coverage is really countries will have to define what constitutes universal health coverage for them, but there needs to be a definition which everybody understands. An analogy is that everybody understands what is lunch, but what is lunch to me? It's different from what is lunch to you, but everybody understands that everybody needs lunch. So that is an analogy. You don't need to, what constitutes universal coverage, what is covered in France need not be exactly the same as what is covered in Botswana, but it's universal health coverage. So as the ambassador said, we need a little definition, but this is not an area where we should move towards one size fits all or a prescription for every country. Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I represent Ukraine, and we would like to thank the governments of Sweden and Botswana, as well as the UNICEF and other UN bodies for their useful and rewarding work on bringing our attention to the health care issues. And we all expect in September the high-level meeting on achieving the MDGs, and we know that member states prepare their reports. And in Ukraine, we know what it means, the MDGs, and we know that it's not just the sound for us, because in my country, a substantial part of the MDGs made and achieved in the healthcare issues. And we would like to echo the results of your consultations, as well as the outcome of the UNDP Global Survey. It's My World 2015, where in my country, in this region of Eastern Europe and Central Asia, also healthcare was put in the first place for the next UN development agenda after 2015. And therefore, we reiterate our support on inclusion the health issues on item for as an item for the Sustainable Development Goals, and about the health global understanding what it means, the health issues. It really was done a remarkable job by our French colleagues in General Assembly during the consultations by gathering all the a huge amount of ideas what should be done in this resolution for the next even decades, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Aslak Brun from Norway. And we remain indebted to the governments of Botswana and Sweden for putting this so high on the agenda. I must say I'm happy to be down here and not having to answering all these very pertinent and very good questions, but also extremely difficult questions up at the dais. I think what we can see is we are getting a broad sense of agreement over a few issues, at least five issues I would like to mention very quickly. One is that obvious one, that health needs to be included in any new generation of goals. It seems to be an emerging consensus that we need one overarching goal and not three as we have now, or two or five or whatever. Also a consensus that we need a broader agenda than today. We certainly need to finish the unfinished agenda. We still have some 950 days or so until the 2015 deadline. If we can save only 200,000 more mothers, we have achieved NGG5. If we can save 4.4 million more children, we have achieved NGG4. And we have to put extra effort into that, of course, in the remaining days. But that is not enough. We have to broaden the agenda. We have to put in some other issues that are perhaps more relevant for some of the countries like my own, where non-communicable diseases is a big burden, and we have to address that in our own countries. So that's the third issue where we are emerging consensus. I think also we have learned the couple of days here that health is not only an ends in itself, but is a very useful indicator for other goals, but also perhaps also the opposite, that to achieve good health, we need to have clean water, we need to have other ends, so that we see that all these issues are interconnected. Now, so this is positive. We are getting closer to a broad global consensus. Of course, there are many things we do not agree on yet. We don't exactly know what to call this overarching goal, and I would like to see if to invite you at the dais to see whether you would dare to say something about that. What would be a good goal that would commit everybody, that would communicate easily, that decision makers would like, that would have an appeal, of course, to health ministers, but to the global public? Would that be universal health coverage, or would it be some of the issues that maximizing healthy lives was proposed in Botswana, ensuring healthy lives is the proposal in the high-level report? I mean, I don't know if somebody would like to enter into that discussion, but I think it would be useful early on to sort of have a banner, a global goal under which we can all rally and say this is the goal, and then we can go down in to discuss targets and indicators after that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, my name is Hilde Sundragne. I'm from the Minister of Health in Norway, so it was not very elegant to to ask for the word in parallel, but I had a different question. Actually, it was responding to you, AB, and your lunch. It's never a free lunch, as we know. And I understand every country has to define how they will arrange their lunch, but it's also an important issue that you want the population need access to that lunch, and they need to be affordable for the population. So actually my question is, how do you link this discussion, the the UHC discussion to the discussion we heard yesterday or the day before about the social protection floor. It would be good if you could elaborate on that. Thank you.
Any more questions? Whilst I think of the answer. All right. So a number of issues have been raised in this second round. One issue is that we appear to be having some convergence on some issues. And one of it is the idea of, can we have an overarching goal? And the challenge is that, can we begin to discuss what this overarching goal will look like so that people can make inputs and all? So that is one. The other issue that has also clearly come out is that so far we appear not to talk about issues of cost and accessibility and money issues. How do we address those as well, given that you cannot attain universality with the existing resources? How do we address that issue? And then the third issue is the linkages with the social protection floor. So those are the three issues that have come up on this round. So can I invite colleagues, if you want to respond to some of those issues or share? As was highlighted by one of the colleagues, we are in early stages, and it is acceptable that nobody has all the answers here. But what people are looking for is that, can we begin to look at what are the different options? Everybody accepts that nobody has the answers, but can colleagues share what are the different options? So that is the stage we are now. So can I invite colleagues, if you want to respond to some of the issues raised? The three issues, yes.
Thank you. Just to maybe to say that on the social protection floor, yes, WHO has been definitely looking very much at that, and we were one of the contributing agencies to the paper prepared on the social protection, assuming that one of those core responsibilities at country level on the social protection will be to provide services for health. We have been trying to effectively to link the social protection to the fact that we want access to those health basic services, and the two things need to be very much related. I think that the social protection floor paper has not yet been discussed at the open working group. Yeah. It was discussed yesterday. Okay, therefore, I think the presentation was done, and yes, we are part of that very much, and we have contributed to that. We see it as a major opportunity, major responsibility. Thank you.
So let me respond to anybody wanting to take the floor. All right. The social protection floor was discussed yesterday. And one of the conclusions of that discussion is that to lift people out of poverty and to ensure that the disadvantaged are helped, there is an urgent need for some social protection. But it's at the same time unreasonable to expect that countries with low income will be able to provide that unless there is growth. And therefore, this discussion on social protection should be linked with the discussion on growth. So that was one of the key issues. But let me also hint about the issue my colleague raised about what will this overarching goal look like. And one of the areas that some of us and some experts have been working on is the idea of healthy life expectancy. At the moment, one of the things that is usually used to measure how well a health system in a particular country is doing is the life expectancy. If your country your life expectancy is above 70, then you are doing well. If it's 40, you're not doing too well. But it doesn't at the moment add the element of the quality of life. So the intention here is to look at it in terms of the quality of life. And there is some work that is required to do that, but that is really the concept. The challenge is that because this is a new concept, there are no data or baseline. We need to work on what data is required to do that. But that is the situation we were out many years ago when we didn't have an indicator of poverty. Many years ago, you will not believe it. There was no indicator of poverty. And any time you raise the issue of poverty eradication, the question is, this is not goable. There are no measurements. There are no indicators. And people spend invested in developing those. So our hope is that in the next few months, in the next years, we'll be able to develop some of the measurements, some of the metric. And if we have healthy life expectancy as the overall health goal, then below that you could have a number of targets that focuses on some of the specificities that will ensure that as we move from MDGs to SDGs, we don't lose the specificity of MDGs. That will ensure that the concern of sexual and reproductive health is taken care of. That will ensure that the specific challenges of non-communicable diseases are taken care of. So the idea is that this overall goal will be healthy life expectancy, but below that, there will be a number of targets for sexual reproductive health, targets for immunization, targets for HIV, malaria. But so that is really the thinking at this stage. And again, I will want some feedback on this wonderful idea. All right, so that is the thinking at this stage. Are there any colleagues wanting to react to that? Anything from... Yes.
Well, Chair, whilst they are still thinking of answers, I just want to agree with what our colleagues from France, Ukraine, and Norway have said. They've all underscored the need for a broader agenda than what we have been experiencing throughout the implementation of the SDGs. The French colleague said, what do we do with what she has called the silo approach with the MDGs? We certainly need to be a little broad-minded this time when we get to the stage of formulating our new development agenda. We need to strengthen healthcare systems. And also the point particularly made by our Norwegian colleague, of course, Norway is part of us in this process. Botswana, Sweden, and Norway. Norway is also part of this. What has come out from the comments that the colleague has made is really the cross-sectoral nature of health issues. They cut across a number of sectors, and anything you touch has a health component. And of course, for us to achieve healthy lives, you've got to deal with several aspects of our lives. You've got to deal with issues of food security. You've got to deal with issues of clean water and sanitation. All of those need to be, there's a whole array of issues that need to be addressed in order to achieve healthy living. But more importantly, from the thematic consultations that have been conducted up to this point, and this is part of what our Norwegian colleague made reference to, we are starting to see a broad consensus emerging as to the issues that could constitute the future development agenda, particularly the health aspects of that agenda. Issues of sexual and reproductive health, issues of maternal and infant and maternal health, those are issues that we need to build on, building on the experience that we have had over the years of the implementation of the MDGs. So in terms of commonality of views, the emergence of consensus, one is able to touch these various issues as emerging issues from the consultations, and there is commonality of them throughout the consultation process. And we need to build on that, as they will then form a basis for what should constitute the future development agenda. And of course, we want health to be mainstreamed into the sustainable development goals, which would be the main element of the post-2015 development agenda. Those are the only few additions that I thought I could make at this stage, but they still have to answer the questions that you put forward, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much indeed.
I think these discussions over the last day have been extremely useful. I'd like to caution us against seeing things in competition. And what the consultation tried to present was the links between these different issues. Firstly, in terms of the MDGs, we want the MDGs to transition into the SDGs as seamlessly as possible. And so we need to not have a sort of competition between outcome goals versus what we need to get there. A lot of people see the value of outcome goals. They see the value of us as a global community having measured child mortality and maternal mortality and looked at that progress, and that is a motivation to redouble our efforts. So I think people are keen to maintain that. So, but then at the same time, that this siloed approach isn't sufficient. And so universal health coverage, we don't have all the answers, but it's an essential part of the way there. We do need targets. The caution is, whilst we all need lunch, some people's lunches are a lot better than others. Mm. And we need to learn from the experience of primary health care in Almerata, where we had this aspiration of health for all. But that often led to very different experiences in countries. We still want to look as a global community, go and compare our progress and look at where we're doing well, where we're not doing as well. It needs to be specific enough that we can say, well, actually, no, that's not universal health coverage. We can do that better. Perhaps we can look at how we can get the resources. UHC cannot be everything, because then it can often become nothing. But I think without universal health coverage, you're not going to make your outcome targets on non-communicable diseases, on HIV, TB, malaria, on maternal and child health. And I think that's how we see it. The second issue perhaps to think about is this challenge between pragmatism and aspiration. Mm. If we had thought in 2000, can we achieve all of these goals now, we may not have set goals that we did. And a lot of the resources, the thinking, the interventions, the systems we have built to achieve things that perhaps, if you were pragmatic, you wouldn't have thought were possible in 2000. So we also, whilst cost is very important, we also need to have goals that inspire us. And then in terms of what should the final goal be called, well, that will be with the leadership of member states. I think, again, to say, well, goals are important, I'm not sort of fobbing off the question, but what the goal is called, yes, it's important, it needs to be sellable to communities, to politicians, but the targets are essential. I mean, they are what we measure against. They are numerical. And perhaps it would be a shame in the quest for a goal that is sellable if we undermine essential parts of this comprehensive agenda, which could be accommodated with the targets, as the Deputy Director General has explained. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we have the last comment? We've been asked to start packing.
Yes, just very briefly, I wanted to add a comment in relation to the healthy life expectancy as an overall goal. Just in terms of the targets that we are saying might be under that, what has been mentioned as life free of disability is potentially one target of quality of health status. In an aging context, what would be extremely important is that in addition to measuring that at birth, that we have a sense of measuring that at the age of 60, as it is also an important measure to look at not just extended life, but extended quality of life.
Thank you very, very much. This has been a very useful discussion, but I think it's also highlighted areas where we need to do some homework. What is highlighted is that, yes, the thematic consultation has been useful. We're grateful to the leadership of Sweden and Botswana. There appear to be some convergence and consensus on some areas, but there are also some areas that require some work. And one is to do with this overarching goal. So we need to do some homework in articulating better this overarching goal. We also need to do some homework in articulating universal health coverage in a form that will rhyme with people's thinking and is simple for people to grasp. But it's also highlighted that there are some areas we haven't really paid enough attention. And one example is the issue of the accessibility and affordability of not just medicine, but the whole area of technology. If we're going to have universality, then technology cannot, we cannot continue to price the technology the way we are doing it. We cannot continue to do R&D the way we are doing it. So there is that interesting part that has not been talked about. But the other area that has also been brought home is the need for the health sector to begin to interact with other sectors. The thematic consultation was great, but it was really a discussion within the same family. Unless we begin to interact with other sectors, health will continue to be seen as just a small part of it. And everybody is saying that development is health, and health is development. So there's a need to broaden our consultation in future so that it's not just health people. As someone said, health is too important to be left to health professionals alone. So can we begin to interact with other groups? And if health goals can be, targets can be articulated in the other areas, then our work is done. So with this, I think we now all deserve lunch. I don't mean universal coverage, but I mean lunch. Thank you very, very much, and thank you for coming.
Thank you, Chen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my brother.